Because you see, I've heard it said that the definition of tact is making your friends feel at home when you wish that they were. See, our homes are our special places, aren't they? There are refuges. An Englishman's home is his castle and all that sort of thing. But our homes are not always what we would like them to be, are they? During the pandemic, some companies have played on the longings and insecurities that many of us have, you know. Ashamed at how your home looks in the background of your Zoom call now that you're working from home, then we can transform your kitchen, lounge, sofa, loft space. You know, and it's fair enough, isn't it? You know, because sometimes, you know, we suddenly realise, you know, people had all sorts of strange, you know, false virtual backgrounds, didn't they? So it looked like they were doing the meeting from some Caribbean island beach because they were ashamed of what was behind them. When we moved into the vicarage, I deliberately orientated my study so that there was a fairly bland background behind me. So it doesn't matter what kind of tip it is in there. No one will ever know if I'm on a Zoom call. But anyway, I hope it's not like that too much. But, you know, no one wants to be seen somewhere that makes them look bad, do they? And that's where we begin today. A few weeks ago, if you remember, we saw how King David had decided he was going to build a temple to God in Jerusalem. But God had actually said to him, no, you're not going to do that. I still want to be seen to be worshipped in the tent that has travelled with God's people through the wilderness. I'm still sort of empathising with them, standing by God's people as they settle into being residents in the promised land. Only when it's right and proper will I sort of be seen to sort of settle down with them as well. It will be your son, Solomon, who will build the temple. And now, here we are, we've reached that point. We've reached the point where Solomon has built the temple, and we're listening into his prayer to God as the temple is dedicated. And here's a funny thing. After all the work and all the effort that Solomon has put into constructing the temple, he thinks that it's thoroughly unsatisfactory. In chapter 8, verse 27, Solomon says, "But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens and even the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I've built?" See, in fact, Solomon thinks that the whole earth isn't fit for God's dwelling. And this wise king has got a really good point. When I was at theological college, you get to the point where you know that the course is coming to an end and you're going to be ordained and you know you've got to go and find a curacy. And Liz and I found a curacy, we were offered a curacy in Moreton-in-Marsh in the Cotswolds. And we went to have a look at the house there. And it was a lovely semi-detached two-bedroom house, which was great because we'd have one bedroom and the other bedroom was going to be my study because I was working from home, as I always sort of have done as a vicar. So that was great, except that then sort of time went on a little bit, things happened, and by the time we arrived at Moreton-in-Marsh, Liz was 8 months pregnant. And then not too much time elapsed before things happened again, and we were expecting baby number two. So suddenly what had been perfectly fine for us when we looked at it as just a young, you know, fairly newly married couple, was a house that was absolutely unfit for us because we'd outgrown it. It was way too small and impractical for us to live in. It couldn't contain us. Solomon says even the highest heaven cannot contain God. So how can a temple on earth? Well, how can it? And today people often call a church building the house of God, don't they? As if this is where God dwells. You won't find him anywhere else. If you want to find God, you've got to come into the house of God. Like if you want to find the vicar, you've got to go to the vicarage. You know, that sort of thing. Well, actually, it isn't the house of God. This isn't where we keep God safely contained. We just had a baptism, a double baptism at Fours. I was saying, yeah, this isn't where, you know, we bring the children in, we introduce them to God, and then they go off and live the rest of their lives. God is too awesome, too majestic, too splendid, too holy, too great to ever be contained in stones and mortar. No matter how beautiful and how special and how ancient it is as a building and how dear to our hearts, it's just a building. It's not where God dwells. So what does Solomon see as the purpose for the temple that he's built? Well, the Old Testament temple was where God's people came to worship God and to ask for forgiveness for their sins. We all sin, you know, got a lovely little one there, gorgeous, beautiful, but, you know, it's not too long before you find that they can be little monkeys and, you know, do their own little sort of cheeky things and get into mischief and all sorts of, and then, you know, it carries on and they learn to sort of do bigger mischievous things and slightly less sort of making you smile, naughty things, and you kind of think, well, I never taught them. Did you teach them that? No, I never did. I didn't do that. And then, you know, and the thing is, we all carry on, don't we? And we carry on doing naughty things. And then, you know, you're on the naughty stair. And I have to tell you that being on the naughty stair for 53 minutes is not fun when you're my age. But, you know, we deserve to be, don't we? Because we do naughty things. We all misbehave. We all sin. But what happened in the Old Testament temple was the sin that cut us off from God, because God is holy, was realized to be so serious. And the only way that sin could be paid for, because the wages of sin is death, says the Bible, is sacrifice. So the Old Testament temple was where animals were sacrificed to pay for our sins. Now, of course, that could never really work very well, could it? That was just a temporary measure, because the animal hasn't sinned, it's my sin. And it could only be a temporary solution, because it's such a poor solution. So, it's not a good system. But Solomon says, God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Lord my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open towards this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Do you see, Solomon asks God to turn his attention to the temple, where he and the rest of God's people are going to ask for forgiveness for the times they've rejected God and lived in a way that dishonors God. And Solomon says, God, when you turn your attention to the temple and you hear our requests, please, God, forgive us. And it's not only a message for the Jews, there's some great encouragement for you and me as well, because Solomon says, look, I think this is too great to keep to ourselves. Verses 41 to 43, he prays that when foreigners who've heard of God's great name and his mighty deeds come and pray at the temple, towards the temple, that God will hear them and answer their prayer, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. But there's that problem, isn't there, still, that the sacrifices are insufficient. The sin, the rebellion against God is yours and it's mine. It's human sin. We need more than a stone temple with doves or bulls or rams being sacrificed in it. So, what was God's solution? We get a hint of it here in these verses. Solomon asked, but will God really dwell on earth? Now, it's one of our children's birthdays, and we went out for a meal last night, and we passed a pub on the way, and they were advertising, book now for Christmas, because it's nearly that time, isn't it? And of course at Christmas we remember what? It's time for Terry's chocolate oranges. No, it's not. It's time to remember that Jesus came amongst us. Because one of the names that Jesus has in the Bible is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Will God really dwell on earth? Yes. Yes, he will. God came to live with us as one of us, not to lord it over us, but to fulfill Solomon's request. He came to offer us free and full forgiveness to all who turn to him. In the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament, the writer puts it like this. He says, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death, on a cross. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus became the sacrifice that we needed. Jesus was holy God and holy man, with a W. And that meant he was able to pay for our penalty. He was God and human, and he was dying for our sin. He chose to do that in our place, so that we need not offer animal sacrifices. You see, this is the reality. We don't have an altar because we don't offer a sacrifice. The price has been paid once and for all by Jesus. So we have a table where we break bread and we share wine in remembrance of Jesus dying for us. We feed on Jesus in our hearts by faith, as Jesus instructed us to in our New Testament reading. We remember his death, his body broken for us, his blood poured out for us, his sacrifice made for us. And then also, the rest of Solomon's request was fulfilled, that God himself would be glorified throughout the nations, because the writer of Hebrews goes on, therefore, because Jesus humbled himself to die on the cross, God, after he'd raised Jesus from the dead, exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Solomon built a house that he knew could never contain God. That despite all of its beauty and all of its magnificence, it wasn't even really worthy of God, because God is so much more beautiful and magnificent. And yet he longed for it to become a focal point, for God to pour out his grace and his mercy and his love and his forgiveness, as well as his righteous justice, because it would be a focal point for people to come to look to God for mercy and forgiveness, and it would inspire praise and worship the world over. Well, God did more. He didn't regard us as being beneath his presence. He came and he got stuck into the world and into our lives. He lived amongst us in the poorest and the meanest of settings. And then he willingly became the one and only sacrifice that could restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. At the cross, we see the righteous justice of God against sin. But we also see his grace and his mercy and his love poured out upon us. And as Jesus rose again, the world praised God's holy name and has continued to do so more and more and more in Jerusalem, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth, in Babby, in Newnham, in Forsley, in Preston Capes, in Charwelton. Solomon longed for the world to pray towards the temple to find God and his forgiveness. This side of the cross and the empty tomb of Christ, we know that we can pray to Jesus, God with us, who is God who lived on earth, who died to give us life. As Stuart Townend puts it in the song that we're going to sing at the end of our service, behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Do you know that complete forgiveness, that true freedom, that sure and certain hope? Turn to Jesus and call out to him. Because when we pray in the name of Jesus, God hears us from his dwelling place. And when he hears, he forgives. Amen.